mentioned, several have asked me about Ruby today, and she has a sore back again. We don't know why this happens periodically, but it just comes and then it goes, and she just tries to stay comfortable. Might mention that the Guthries talked with them this afternoon, and she is to visit the doctor tomorrow. She did take a fall. She's not feeling too well. So we might remember Johnny Lou Guthrie and Jimmy. If you were here on Wednesday evening, you know that we looked at and gathered some thoughts from chapter 12 of Romans, and we sought to focus on, you might say, the responsibility of believers. We do have awesome responsibility. We represent the Lord. We talked about some things that might appear to be easy, and there were some things that were hard. Even today, after lunch made a comment about a situation, and it sounded to me like they wanted to get even, and even the score. And I had to tell them that that's not what you want. That's not what you do. That's not according to the mind and will of God. You don't overcome evil with evil, but you overcome evil with good. And, you know, that just goes contrary to everything that the flesh stands for. That's the old flesh, the old nature that says, I want to get even. I want my pound of flesh. Eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But that's not God's way. And so often it's hard to make those adjustments in our life that bring our lives and our conduct in perfect alignment with the will of God. Let this mind be in you which was in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we were looking this morning at those thoughts about him. One brother said, man, he knew how to suffer. He knew how to handle suffering. And that's what we want to do. If we must suffer, and if suffering is a part of God's plan and purposes for us, we want to know how to handle it and glorify God in the whole matter of suffering. It's hard sometimes to adjust your thinking. Why is it that suffering is so important in a person's life? We live in a world that is under the curse of God. The whole creation groaneth. Doesn't seem like this is a very happy place where we live. And it isn't a very happy place until you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. When you get to know Him, things change. And you have a deep-seated joy and peace in your soul. Begin to understand and put in place. And that's what God would have us to do as we read and look at the Scriptures. How to handle the problems that we face in life. He has a plan. He has a way. I think that's all important that we want to discover. And we want to practice His mind and His will. So, in view of all that, I started reading the 13th chapter. We were in the 12th chapter on Wednesday evening. And there are only 14 verses in the 13th chapter, so I'd like for us to read that this evening, and we'll make some comments, and we'll find out how far you have gone in the wrong direction about some of the things that perhaps we believe that are taught in this passage. Beginning at verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. They that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to God, to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continue upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And shall we just look to the Lord again in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this Lord's Day and for the privilege of assembling as believers in the Lord Jesus. And we have opened the Word of God and we have thought to glean for our own soul's need that which would better equip us to serve Thee and to be right in the center of your will for our lives. Lord, we are aware that you have a plan and purpose for each one of us, and may it be fulfilled according to the Scriptures. We pray for some that we know that are not present because there is suffering in their lives. There's physical suffering. There are those that are suffering in many other ways. There is need and want in their life, and we would pray, O our God, that you will minister to them and that you will make them aware that indeed you have touched and you have healed and you have brought relief in the time of need. Do receive our thanks for your goodness and mercy to us. In the precious and worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask this. Amen. Well, I don't know how many of you have an interest in governmental matters. Perhaps you are a political person. I have known many Christians that I felt like they carried their interest in politics too far. I have known people that they had a greater interest in political matters than I ever seen them generate in their own lives in things that were spiritual. There's something about a political agenda and where you have a real spirit, a competitive spirit, and each one wants to accomplish what they have planned and what they have purposed that they believe will be in the best interest of our country. The But you know, when I read in the scriptures, and I've looked up several, there are a lot of these scriptures. Proverbs 8:15. The Lord says, "By me kings reign and rulers decree justice." We also read in Daniel chapter 2, verse 21, "He removes kings and he raises up kings." You know, I'm aware that government, those in authority over us, have a place. But here is the question that I pose for you and for me. How much does God plan and purpose for you and me to do to try to put certain people in place in government, believing that they will achieve the will of God? I have discussed this with some of my friends. Some of them do not agree with my opinion about this, and I just say it's an opinion, and it's no better than your opinion, and your opinion is no better than mine. What we want to know is there a very decisive answer from the Word of God as to how we should handle the matter of government, those that have authority that rule over us? You know, this is an election year. Men will be running for public office. Do you believe that sovereignly right now the man in the White House is there because you voted for him? Or do you believe that he's there because God put him there? That would apply to any man in office. Is it possible for people, citizens of this country, to be so civic-minded and they are encouraged to value your vote? We live in a democratic society. We have a privilege to vote, to voice our convictions about matter by voting for that person we believe that is best fitted to fill that office. And perhaps if you have had my experience, the man you voted for didn't win. And you even found out that there were other Christians that were voting different from the way you were voting. How do you reconcile all that? You have the answer, I suppose. Each one of you have already made up your mind how you stand on this issue, and so I don't have to tell you where I stand. I believe that what the Word of God says about the matter is the way it should be handled. God is sovereign. God raises up. God puts down. Perhaps you don't agree with the sovereignty of God to that extent, but you cannot limit the sovereignty of God. He is sovereign. I believe that those that are in authority over us were put there by God, and they're good ones and they're bad ones. Go back into the history of the nation of Israel. I'm telling you, they had some kings that were just off the wall. Think about an Ahab. Think about some of the others that did start well, Solomon and others, and it seems like at some point along the way, there was a departure from the mind and the will of God. But God put them in the place that they were for a purpose. There were foreign kings, those that were enemies of the nation of Israel. And they conquered and abused the people of God in many, many ways. Did you see the hand of God working? Very often it may have been to discipline and chasten God's people. He gave them what they needed. He knew what was good for them. And he gave them somebody that would indeed make it very hard for them. Always with a view that they might recover and that they might repent and that they might turn back to God and honor the Lord in their lives. and abandoned so many things that were contrary to the mind and the will of God. We certainly don't believe in lawlessness. We know that God, in His sovereign wisdom, knew that with the masses of people upon the face of the earth, there needed to be somebody in charge. There needed to be someone that stood at the head and represented authority. The giving of the law. Lawlessness amounts to something that we don't even like the thoughts of it. Every man doing that which is right in his own eye. That's anarchy. We want order. We're encouraged in the Scripture to do two things. Pray for those that are in authority over us. Pray for them. And obey those that are in authority over us. To this point, if they ask of you to do that which is contrary to the mind and the will of God for His people, that would bring you in a position of disobeying the mind and the will of God, then at that point in time we have to say, no, I will not bow the knee. I will not worship that. This is borne out in Scripture. We have the case of Daniel, those young Israelitish men that refused to take upon themselves all the things that were provided for them, recognizing that their loyalty to the Lord came first, and that they would not bow the knee. They would not accommodate those things that were being asked of them by those in that Chaldean society. Lawlessness is something that we recognize as being unprofitable for us as a people. It's a sin. It's a sin for one to disobey authority, that authority that God has raised up, those laws that have been enacted. You say they're not just laws. Well, as I said, until that law would ask of you to do something that's contrary to the mind and the will of God and compromising your position as a Christian, you should obey. You may not like to pay your taxes, but you better. And you may not like the speed limit, but you better. You better recognize these things and you better do these things. These are just things that I mentioned to you because in the world we live today, it seems like that lawlessness has become a popular thing. You take treaties that are agreed upon by nations of people. I think over in the Holy Land, in Palestine today, these treaty obligations, people have signed documents, they have sworn that they would abide by the dictates of that document that they signed, and they go out, and in no time it's violated. I think lawlessness, as far as it relates to the home, there's a lot of disrespect shown toward parents today. There are many that sometimes teach our children that it's not important to obey what your parents ask you to do. That sometimes the parent, in even suggesting to their children that there's such a thing as right and wrong, that you do something to that young child that defiles and corrupts their thinking about morality and so forth, moral issues, doing what is relevant is a popular thing that's done today. In other words, authority is ignored. I think every one of us in this room would have to agree, yes, I have ignored authority many times. I didn't do it in such an overt way that it was something that a police officer or someone that was in authority took note of it. You go undercover sometime. You keep it something that's private, but you disobey that authority that's over us. You know, this may reflect upon us because I think it's a part of our nature. Now, this reveals that we are sympathetic towards sin, especially if it's my sin. I don't think you should come down so hard on me for my sin. We dare not come down any harder than God would come down. God hates sin. God hates sin. The big problem is that so often none of us feel qualified to deal with that matter, that sin. So we develop a certain amount of sympathy toward sin and rebellion and authority. That seems to be prevalent in the world today. A lot of sympathizers with all kinds of things that are being done that are just completely ridiculous. But that's the world we live in. And I think Paul is bringing to the attention of God's people, and again, I think as we talk about this and think about it, we're aware that what we're saying and what we're endeavoring to arrive at is how we are to behave ourselves, how we are to conduct ourselves as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's important as to how we behave ourselves. God takes note of how we behave ourselves. Sovereignly, God knows all that is in each one of our hearts. I would just throw this out for your thoughts, that those that are in authority, that are ministers of God, and that's what they're called, he is the minister of God to thee for good, that one that's in authority. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. You may not subscribe to capital punishment. You may be one of those that would like to carry a candle and say that this is punishment that is too harsh, even if that person is a premeditated murderer. I believe that this scripture would tell us that that one that is a minister to God, to thee for good, perhaps there should be more action taken in the area of judging sin for what it is, and let whatever that crime might be, let the punishment be equal to the seriousness of what was done. Now, some people will say, "This, you're talking about something that frightens me, that I'm supposed to be aware of all these things and." And I have to develop a position before God about it? We should. What do? Just read the Word of God like you read a comic book? Or like you read some magazine? You make no judgment call about anything. What's the matter? There's something wrong with that thinking. God wants his people to be a people of conviction based upon the Word of God. Yes, I have conviction. Every one of us should be men and women of God of convictions about these things. I know what I believe. Know what I believe. And I believe it is important for me to practice what I believe. If it's God's will and God's plan, then I should obey. Paul is stressing some things here that so often we may not think about this and the importance of it, but sometimes the position of believers falls into a state whereby there's a lot of ridicule. Those people don't know what they believe. There are so many inconsistencies. I think we mentioned Wednesday night that you preach one thing, but you practice something else. Don't have much respect for you because you don't even practice what you preach. Let's have convictions about these things. Let's read these things. You said, I don't want to bother with all of this. It's too hard. It's too hard. We know enlightenment from the Word of God sometimes has a way of relieving some of the pressure that you may experience because you don't know where you stand. The uncertainty about these things. The 8th verse of this chapter brings us into another realm in which I think there is much that disagreement. Owe no man anything. You bought a house, you bought a car, you've entered into a mortgage agreement with a lending agency, and you, in a sense, have obligated yourself for something. Is that wrong? Is that wrong?
Wrong.
Owe no man anything. I think as long as you abide by the contractual agreement that you've made and you make your payments, you're paying for it. Hopefully there won't be any foreclosures. But owe no man anything but to love one another. Man, here Paul is reintroducing this whole concept of how important love is to living the new life that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the greatest of all gifts. We know that. We've read about it. We look at it and we examine it and we agree with it and we say, yes, love never fails. Greatest of all gifts. John 13:24, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another the same way that I have loved you. Other men will know you are my disciples because you love one another. Not long ago, brother asked me, and he described something that had happened, and he said the accusation was made toward a member of his own family regarding that lack of any show of love for other members of the family. And yet, that person was very positive in declaring that I am a believer in our Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God means so much to me. And yet, could not bring themselves to put aside something that had happened. And it was detectable, and harm was done. And then it made those statements that are made about you like to preach about it, but you don't like to practice it. Charges were made along that line. We get to a point in what Paul has to say here. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. You know, a lawyer asked the Lord about the matter of truth and love. And he gave him that illustration, that one regarding the Good Samaritan. Who is the one that really does the will of God? Who is the one among God's people that is well-pleasing to the Lord? It's the one that obeys and does what God tells him to do. That's the one that is well-pleasing to the Lord. So often we disregard what we see in Scripture. It doesn't appeal to me. I don't think it's important. You can't shrug that off that easy. It stands, and it's an indictment against any one of us that says that's not important. Not that important. I don't attach that importance to it that you attach to it. I tell you, what God asks us to do is very, very, very important. Obedience is better than sacrifice. We discover that when we read about King Saul and that horrible mistake he made. Why is it so important that we talk about these things, and sometimes we may have glided over this in our readings and we didn't really pause and meditate upon it and think about how important it was. Why is it so important that we take very seriously these things? Paul says the night is far spent. The night is far spent. The day is at hand.
Remember what we said this morning? Brother said, we're closer to heaven this morning than we've ever been before. Well, I could tell him, I don't see him here this evening, but I'll tell you this, we're closer to heaven tonight than we were this morning. We're closer to getting there. Could we say, and really mean it out of the depths of our hearts, that I'd like for him to come before we leave this building. Just as soon as we walk out the door and look up into the heaven, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is here to rapture home his people. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Oh, you thought about something that you've got to do? Is there anything more important that will happen in any one of our lives than seeing him? Paul says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. I think a thought like that will make you take inventory right quick and say, hey, wait a minute, I've got a few things I'd like to straighten out. Or I've got some things that I need to put in order. I don't want to go home this way. My house is in a mess. That's why I tell you to keep short accounts with the Lord. So often we have that way of, I'm going to take care of that tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. Never do today what you can do tomorrow. I mean, why get in a rush? Well, I tell you what, if we live in anticipation of his coming again, I think there's some things we would do well to straighten out. Because we will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, we'll be there, every one of us, as believers in the Lord Jesus. And maybe we might say, I wish I could hide. I wish I could hide. Because just looking into the face of the Son of God, the one that possesses all wisdom, the one that knows all, the one that knows every intricate detail of my life and my thinking and what I've done and everything about me. There's not anything he's hidden from him. It certainly is in our best interest that every night before we go to our beds and you get down there by the bed, say, Lord, I have sinned. I have sinned. I want to confess it. And there's some things that I may have committed sin, and there's sins of omission, there's sins of commission. If I've said anything and if I've done anything today that was not in the will of God, Lord, hear my cry. When I put my head upon this pillow and go to sleep, if I wake up in your presence, I want everything confessed. I don't want anything hanging on. It's just something for us to think about and take very seriously. These are not just passages that we read and look at them and say, oh, that's very interesting. Yes, it is very interesting. And we might think in our mind, but it's not that important. But it is important. It's the Word of God. And we need to take whatever action in our lives that brings us into perfect compliance with the will of God. Walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness. Man, that is on the increase. See it everywhere, chambering, wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on Christ. Oh, as new creatures in Christ Jesus, that there's evidence in every one of our lives that the righteousness of God has truly been put to our account and it's had such an impact on our lives. And we don't like lawlessness. We don't like sin. We're not sympathetic towards sin in any fashion. Sin should be confessed and forsaken. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That's the bottom line. I was saddened when I talked to that person today that wanted to get even. That's the flesh. That's the flesh. If you've got a score that you're going to settle with someone And it's going to involve that you act from the position of your flesh. That sinful desire within you to do something that is not the mind and will of God. You're not willing to overcome evil with good, but you're going at it just the way that God said for you not to go at it. It's going to be an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. The time is late, brother and sister. Reading these scriptures, and this is a wonderful book, the Word of God. Oh, it does provide us with that kind of instruction that gives us fresh confidence every day when we read it, to know that I'm doing the will of God. And I've asked for direction along this pathway of righteousness for His name's sake. I call myself a Christian. And I want others that see me and know that I profess to be a Christian, if they can see Christ in me. That's all important. Our Father in heaven, we would pray tonight as we look back over a day in which there have been so many wonderful, wonderful times spent together in worship and praise of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're so thankful that we've been occupied with these things that will enrich our lives and help us to better comply with the divine will that is unerring. Oh, our God, help us as believers to obey all that we find in the way of instructions for godly living in the Word of God. Do receive our thanks. We ask your blessing in our Savior's name. Amen. John may have a verse of the hymn.